You are listening to the Critical Mass Radio Show, Orange County's business talk show, focused on exploring topics of interest to CEOs who are leading middle market companies, with your host, Richard Franzi.
Hello and welcome to Orange County's longest running business talk show. And yes, I am your host, Rick Franzi. And boy, do we have a good guest in store for you today. Why do you ask? Because Liz Flores is our guest. She is the founder of Lift Them Consulting, which we can call as an acronym, LFTM. Liz, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to share.
So let's get right into it. You're the founder of your consulting firm. I'm wondering, what was the motivation or your inspiration to actually start your company?
Great question. My passion and motivation is to help professionals and businesses with compliance and the ability to be able to save them money. That really is where my niche is. Being an independent business owner provides me the opportunity to be able to be there for my clients as an advocate and offer them resolutions when it comes to structuring their own businesses.
Were you in this profession in your career before you started your consulting firm?
I have been in the HR consulting business, and I've been in the HR profession for over 25 years. So this has really afforded me an opportunity to go in and really be able to be that resource for businesses and professionals. So yeah.
You have seen a lot of evolution in employment, haven't you, in those two decades plus of doing HR work?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Because you've seen the millennials come into the workforce, and now you're seeing Gen Z come into the workforce. You're seeing the boomers leave it. It's like, my goodness, it's a lot going on.
And you have to learn how to adapt quickly. New laws come into play, as the workforce dynamics are changing, you have to be able to adapt. And I have seen a lot of my colleagues leave the industry for that same purpose. You know, it's like, okay, wait a minute. This is a little bit way too much.
I've had it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
So your business is in its second year. And I'm wondering, are any pivots in the early days, any changes to the business model? Did the marketplace point you in a direction you hadn't anticipated when you kind of launched the firm? Talk to us about those early days.
Well, you know, I've been a consultant before.
Okay.
So this is nothing really new, but what we found is that after COVID, there was more of a need, and HR consulting went on a rise.
Hmm.
And I think it was part of that whole transition where COVID happened. And there were so many HR professionals like, you know what, this is great, but I don't want to have to do this. So we started seeing an increase in HR consulting. And so that's when I'm like, okay, you know what, I'm going to pivot and go that route. And so, yes, there is a need. There's a demand. And the other part of that is the one, if you want to say, pivot or challenge that, you know, comes with being a business owner is learning all things social media and marketing.
Mm.
And, you know, if you're really savvy at doing social media marketing, that's great. That's awesome. But that is a learning curve where it requires you to utilize social media so much. And it's such a great tool to be able to increase business exposure and be able to gain, you know, referrals or clients. So that's one thing that I have been going through and learning more and more. But yet the opportunity to be able to help entrepreneurs or small businesses or even national accounts, that is something that, you know, we're seeing more and more of, more of a need.
Okay. So let's talk about your firm then. And maybe you can, for my audience, you can talk about what problems are you solving?
Okay.
Who do you like to help? You know, kind of what's the niche that you find most beneficial for your services? And how are people finding and selecting you as the partner to work with?
Great. So Lift Them Consulting actually empowers professionals and organizations to improve upon their business acuity and through consulting, coaching, development training. The services that we provide are actually human resources and workers' comp consulting. We also do transformational leadership coaching, professional and organizational development training. So they call me the fixer. A client coined me that phrase, like, you're a fixer. Nice. So we do love to be able to go in to help, you know, not just businesses, organizations, but individuals, leaders that, you know, right now are having a hard time in, you know, just going through change management. There's no big or small business that we cannot help. So we work with, again, nationwide clients, as well as local clients, entrepreneurs that are just starting out, you know, with building their business. One of the things that we love to do is to help you structure your business. And so we want to be able to be there as a resource. I'm also, you know, part of being an HR consultant, I'm also a business coach. So family-owned businesses, a lot of times, you know, you get into running a business, but yet you're lacking the advice or, you know, the consulting aspect of compliance. So we don't turn anyone away. If you need help, we want to be able to meet your needs. The type of problems we're solving. The type of problems we're solving is ensuring that our clients are compliant with federal and state employment laws. And again, as you mentioned earlier, those are changing each and every day. And every year, you have to be ready to make sure that whatever you have in place is updated. And if it's not, then we have to be able to implement current policies and procedures. Workers' comp claims management, especially out here in California, we understand how expensive that can be for a business owner. So I was once a workers' comp adjuster. Mm-hmm. So I know what it is to work on claims. I know what it is to where we can go about controlling costs so that, you know, your insurance premiums are not through the roof. And we want to make sure that you are marketable. So there's clients where I have gone in and their X mod is basically what is rated through, you know, what pays for your insurance.
Right.
300%. Mm-hmm. I've been able to lower it to less than 100. Mm-hmm. It's not a miracle and it's not, you know, happen overnight, but it definitely can be done. And there's where I like to go in and improve those results for the clients. Assisting our clients with leadership development training, one-on-one coaching, improving upon company culture, the communications, and again, supporting the change management upskilling. What happened a lot with COVID, and as you know, through those 2 years, there was a lot of disconnect going on because there was a lack of communication, or there were so many people working from home, there wasn't really much communication going on about, okay, well, what's next? What's going on? You know, so we notice now that companies now want to kind of come back and bring that unification between leadership and employees. And we want to be able to get back to that, you know, pre-COVID state where it's like, okay, are we working together? Or are we working separately? And how can we unify that? So we're spending more and more time doing that with leadership, providing the one-on-one coaching, and then also coming in and doing the development training, because we want to make sure that you have a very cohesive, healthy working environment. So that's part of what we do. So yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know, as you were explaining what you're doing, especially the last piece is that my experience is the current world is a tension between making work convenient for your employees. In other words, allowing some level of flexibility from office time and home time to making sure your culture is reinforced consistently when you don't have people who are forced to be together every day, all business day. And I imagine that's an area where you are helping your clients to understand what are the best practices or what can you do to be able to balance those two, what I think sometimes are competing initiatives. frankly.
Yes. And, you know, different clients prefer different working environments. The work culture is changing, where we are now having either fully remote, you're working from home, or you're having hybrid, you know. I personally believe that hybrid is a healthier choice for organizations because you yet have the flexibility to work from home, yet there's also that need to come in and associate with your colleagues and come together, you know, whether it be once a week or twice a week, and be able to just feel like you're still part of a team, you're still connected. And so it's very sensitive to be able to connect that unification and ensure that you're maintaining the communication as an organization and that your employees are still feeling like they belong and that they are still being heard. So
do you suggest, Liz, that if they have a hybrid work environment, that they sort of mandate a time when everybody needs to be around, or do they, is that a best practice or is that not a best? Here's the reason why I ask. From some of the small business owners, SMBs that I know, they have a flexible work and hybrid work environment. What they're finding is it's only a smattering of people that are there on any one day. And Mondays and Fridays, there's like nobody there because it's the weekend. And so it really falls down to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They never feel like they have a full complement of their team if they're not saying, okay, everybody needs to be here on Wednesdays, let's say, for example. What's your experience in that area?
In that aspect, I believe that allowing the flexibility to say, hey, and I've seen this with clients, we just want you to come in 2 days out of the week into the office. You choose what to do 2 days that is.
Okay.
We have other clients that say, you know, we want you here on Mondays and we want you here on Thursdays, right? And then we're going to have a team meeting one of those days. And so either way works. I think to have that opportunity to say, hey, you choose, because we also want to make sure that we're following that whole hybrid connection. We're following that flexibility. But I don't think there's very much to ask for to have employees to say, hey, come in on this, these two particular days. And from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, we're going to be having our, you know, round table where we connect, we talk about the projects that we're working on. We find out where we're at as an organization. And again, it's bringing in that unification, that communication, and you're still feeling like, okay, I'm on top of things. The company's definitely giving me that opportunity to know where we're at and, you know, the next projects to come down the line. So I'm a very big proponent of both options.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you. Yeah. It's, you know, before COVID, I can't imagine in many instances when a candidate for a job would, during the interview process, ask the question, well, how many days a week do you expect me to be in the office? I mean, I don't even know where that would have been appropriate pre-COVID, but certainly now that is a major question for new hires, is what's your work policy?
Yes. And if you know, I mean, being in HR, I see this each and every day. Now that when, you know, somebody does a job posting, one of the biggest things that is part of the job posting is to indicate, is this job on site? Is it fully remote or is it hybrid? And you will see it every time you see a job posting now, you know, post-COVID. It's like, yeah, this is hybrid. Yeah, we require you to be on site Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. And this is now becoming the norm. And so you do have to be able to assess candidates to say, and that's a question that you ask, what are you looking for? Are you okay with on-site employment? You know, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. No, I want hybrid. That's really what I'm looking for. So right. If you can accommodate me coming into the office 3 days a week and 2 days working remote, I'm okay with that. So this is now how we have to start assessing our candidates.
Yeah, it's a different world, isn't it, Liz? It's never boring working with people and being in the HR role. It's an exciting world, but I can see how some would have chose to leave the profession as well. I'm wondering, from your perspective, can you share with us and my audience a piece of business advice that either you were given by a mentor or someone in your life, or that you give to your clients that you could pay it forward here on Critical Mass and share it with our audience?
Yeah, thank you. That's definitely a great question. Anytime that you are starting a business, you know, there's so many questions, there's so many doubts, there's so many, you know, even insecurities that come through. You know, am I going to be successful? Am I not? You know, I mean, what are some of the downfalls? And these are all things that you need to think about. But I did have somebody tell me, you know, don't let fear stop you from taking risks. Mm. That is a big one. You know, you may not have, I mean, obviously you have a business plan, right? And you want to make sure that you're following that, envision it and work on it daily. Do something towards your business daily. Take accountability. After all, I mean, this is your business. So invest in your own growth and learn from the mistakes that you will be making along the way, because you will make mistakes. And just don't repeat them. Just don't repeat them. Take that lesson and turn it around. But yeah, I mean, it becomes a lonely world when you're starting a business.
Which is my next question. Have you felt that loneliness during the early stages of the firm?
Oh, yes. I mean, I can attest to that. I literally took a year off to focus on my business.
Wow.
And I mean, that was part of my business plan. Maybe not everyone has that opportunity, right?
Right.
But, you know, even when I was working for, you know, somebody else, you know, each and every day I was implementing something and coming back to HR consulting because I had done it before. But yeah, I took that year off to focus on my business. And yes, you do purposely have to isolate yourself to stay focused and draw out your plan every day. It takes sacrificing your free time, family events, friends and outings. I mean, you will eventually reap the benefit of what you sacrifice to get to the other end. And it's worth it. But yes, it's going to take a lot of sacrifice. Time, money, people.
Yeah, energy, your emotions.
Energy.
Yeah. Take for an entrepreneur and a founder especially, it really does require all of you to be invested in the business. And in my opinion, it's the hardest thing to do in business is to create a new entity that didn't exist, because the world doesn't know, need it, and really takes the energy of the founder to push.
You know, we were having this conversation. I'm part of a board where, you know, I sit in with CEOs and founders of their own nonprofit organizations. And this one gentleman was literally asking, like, hey, what do I do to get peace of mind, to get some sleep, you know, to get, you know, minimize my anxiety, the stress of running a business. And, you know, just cranking from like 6 o'clock in the morning all the way till 10 o'clock at night. And you really need to be able to set boundaries as well for yourself, because self-care is a priority.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You got to have some respite from it, or else it could burn you out or wear you down. Yes.
Exactly. Walk away when, you know, it's time to walk, take a break, take 30 minutes, go for a walk, get some
sun. Right? We're in Southern California.
Yeah. You know.
I'm wondering, you know, technology is on the rise and artificial intelligence is everywhere. And I'm wondering from your perspective, what's your view on artificial intelligence and how do you see it impacting your industry?
Wow. Yeah, that is something that we have talked a lot in HR. As a matter of fact, we had this major AI seminar. Mm. I think we had over 100 people attend. And I don't believe we've seen the full impact of AI and what it will have in the business industry. Yet in HR, when it comes to compliance, can we truly rely on, you know, robotic intelligence? That's something that we are constantly asking ourselves, especially because we're in an industry that is made up of compliance, you know, and that's still being determined. Yes, our industry will change as AI gets more integrated into our day-to-day. My business will have to adapt as this new technology evolves. What I tell my clients is to be cautious on having the full reliability on AI. HR is about human relations, you know, the human element, the day-to-day interaction. So I don't see AI being fully functional in that area. I think, you know, as far as the technology piece for HR, I believe there's going to be significant changes there. But how do you replace the human element of why you're really even there as an HR professional? So that's left to be seen. But yes, I think, you know, as AI continues to evolve, I do believe that, you know, any industry will have to learn how to adapt around that.
Yeah, that was great when you said, you know, the HR is the human resources human. So it's right in the industry's name. So interesting times ahead for sure. Okay, speaking of times ahead, what's your vision for your firm for the future? Are you going to be back on the show at some point? What's going to be bigger, better, brighter? What are you doing?
I really hope to be and come back and bring some really great positive feedback. Okay. The vision is to be able to teach, train, and offer multiple resources, not just for our clients, but for our emerging leaders of tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm a big proponent. I have a passion to mentor and coach. I have served as a mentor for UCLA students, as well as high school students from nonprofit organizations. So I've had interns come in and you know, volunteer their time at my business. And it's a passion of mine to be able to teach and train them on business acumen, so they witness how the real day-to-day of the business world plays out. And, you know, I give them scenarios, real life scenarios. It's like, how would you handle this employee relations issue? They're like, well, like, we didn't even know that was part of, you know, doing business. I go, yes, you get everything. So part of my vision is to start a nonprofit, hopefully within the 3 to 5 years, to prepare and support these emerging leaders of tomorrow. I believe that we have an obligation to pay it forward, however it is that we can. And, you know, I believe, yes, you have that educational piece. You can go to a college, a university, but the real life, you know, play by play is what we need to be able to teach our emerging leaders and how to confront these. Because, you know, I've had, you know, people in the HR industry say, oh, I wasn't prepared for all the, you know, employee relations issues, all the legal matters that come with this position and this profession. So I'm out. But I think once you can paint a realistic picture and be able to bring, you know, these students in to be able to, you know, see it, witness it, and be part of it, I think it will take a little bit more of that, you know, reservation or that insecurity of, am I really in the right profession? Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to train them on all things that are HR, and not just HR, but obviously running a business. At some point, maybe they're going to become consultants on their own or business owners.
Right. We need that. We need more entrepreneurs certainly out there solving problems. If someone would like to connect with you on LinkedIn or learn more about your company, where do you suggest they go, Liz?
Thank you. Yeah. So you can connect with me on LinkedIn. I am under Elizabeth Flores, and my LinkedIn is RARHR. So you can just look me up that way, or you can email me at info@lftm.life, or my website, www.lftm.life.
Wow. Great. Yeah. Thank you for giving so many places people can follow up with you. And hopefully some of the live audience today or the podcasting audience in the future will do that. I want to thank you for giving up your time today. It's been a joy to spend time with you.
I appreciate the opportunity. And yes, I am available. And, you know, I would love to see how I could be a resource.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank the audience. You're a part of Orange County's longest running business talk show. Liz's show is now in our catalog of over 1,400 interviews that we've done over the years. If you're an Orange County entrepreneur or a nonprofit leader and you'd like to share your story with our audience, then reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm Rick, R-I-C, Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I. Coincidentally, that's our company's website, rickfranzi.com. And Haley and I will be happy to talk with you about having you as a future guest on the show. And until we're all back together again, I hope that all of your business decisions will move your company in a positive direction.